Hi everyone, I'm Mirela Ciobanu, lead editor with The Papers, a global financial publication, and I'm excited to speak with Max Imbiel, CISO at Bitpanda. We're live here at Cyber Evolution, and we are going to discuss cybersecurity in the crypto space and beyond. So Max, it's so great to meet you.
Great to meet you as well.
Yeah, I'm curious to know what attracted you to working as a CISO, especially now that you shifted your role within a crypto company, since this topic is so controversial.
So I think the controversy of that is still there, yes, to a certain degree, but we're getting into a way more mature situation right now in crypto that it's actually being accepted as a proper financial asset, right? We have new regulations coming up, MiCAR, for example, markets in crypto as assets regulation, that will be the cornerstone of making it acceptable for not just individual people, but also for all kinds of companies and corporations to actually invest in. And so I joined Bitpanda because their focus is pretty much here on not just providing crypto for every single person out there, but also for businesses to actually use crypto and to offer that to their customers as well, right? We're partnering with other banks that we offer our white label solutions to, and then they can just have that included in their own products, basically, and it's for their customers a direct flow in their app, in their services, that they can now all of a sudden invest in crypto into. And we're in the back end providing this service. And I'm really happy to just see that our field is getting, and our industry is getting more mature. Because I personally have been invested in crypto for quite a while now. And I think it's the next step in the financial evolution.
Yeah. And for the other CISOs working in the crypto space, what are the main concerns that they are currently facing?
Main concerns, I think, are always a little bit depending on where exactly you're working. So the main concerns for a company in the US might be different than from us here.
Let's take it for every geography. Let's start with Europe, since you mentioned
okay. Yeah, so exactly. So in Europe right now, I think for a crypto company that wants to be sustainable and that wants to keep growing and wants to be more and more mature, focus is, of course, a lot on compliance, right? Okay. The new regulations coming out, DORA, the Digital Operational Resilience Act, that is also applicable to all financial institutes, which we are also one of those. So we also have to apply the same standards as a Deutsche Bank has to, which, of course, for a smaller company for like us compared to Deutsche Bank, it's sometimes hard to really identify how can we keep up with these regulations. But luckily, we have had a very stable environment already being set up in the past from a technology perspective. And so my concern in that area really is now enabling our business going forward, right? Making it possible that we keep our licenses, that we're actually compliant with these new regulations, that we can also showcase this to our partners and to our customers. And all the while, of course, because it's always not just a compliance tick box that we need to check, staying secure and staying safe.
Yeah. Before we go into staying secure and safe, because I'm curious to see what are the main fraud attacks, let's also delve a bit in the US space, maybe regarding some of the challenges probably related to compliance again for crypto providers, maybe to share some
I think in the US right now, especially in crypto, everybody's pretty much eager to see what is happening in the next legislature, right? Once that is happening in January, how much of the promises that Donald Trump basically made during his campaign, he will actually follow up in terms of the crypto industry, because that will potentially offer a huge benefit for the crypto industry and also give it another push. I mean, we've just seen this morning Bitcoin hit the $100,000 mark. So the market really is striving and is eager to see what is happening there. But then on the other hand, especially US crypto companies are pretty much targeted also by adversaries from North Korea and from Russia.
Oh, yeah.
And so that, of course, is then also a huge topic that they also need to have in their view, how to protect themselves against that.
Yeah. And now since we mentioned about protections, yeah, maybe to share some of the new type of attacks or threats that are plaguing the crypto space.
Mm-hmm. So I think especially in crypto right now, what we can see is that overall the fraud scheme that we have seen throughout the last couple of years in banking, in traditional banking, is actually jumping over into crypto now. So these adversaries out there that have been targeting customers directly in terms of social engineering via phone calls, via phishing emails, via smishing, so SMS text messages, asking them to send their money somewhere or to just enter their account on a malicious link, right? So they could actually pull the account numbers and the passwords and whatnot from those pages. That is more and more transitioning over also into the crypto space. And these kinds of attacks are getting more and more sophisticated as well. I think AI here is very much a driver for those adversaries because they are much more efficient now in just basically tailoring their approaches to different companies and to different setups. It's not them just doing this all by hand anymore, but they have the AI support in the back end that is basically drafting up all of this for them. And it's just enabling it to make it faster and more widespread.
Yeah. And since you previously had a session on security 3.0, I'm asking now how to prevent all these type of attacks with some ideas that you shared earlier with the audience.
Yeah, sure. So in security 3.0, as I call it, prevention has a little bit of a higher priority than detection and response, because I'm of the opinion that if we tackle something before it has actually happened, we can more properly protect ourselves against it. So and the parallels that I'm drawing here is to like modern medicine, where the approach is to have a view of your own personal health before you get sick, actually, so you can tackle something that could potentially like make you really sick in the next couple of years. And so that is exactly where I have a focus on for that security 3.0 in saying, okay, what do we see on the next couple of months and maybe even years down the road in potential attacks that could hit us, or adversaries that are just targeting other crypto companies as well. So enforcing and enabling us in more of a preventive approach, right, that is just about to building up the walls before something actually hits us.
Yeah. And did you notice, companies are adopting this preventive approach, or more have started to?
I think the preventive approach is getting more traction, also again because of upcoming regulations like DORA, because they're more targeting really on resilience, and you have to do exercises, right? Mm-hmm. So we in banking, especially in Germany, with the regulations that we've had in place so far, they were asking us or requiring us to do the same levels already for quite a while. And the good companies out there that have been existing for quite a while and that were successful have also been doing this. So stress testing themselves, right, having proper red teaming exercises on their security. But now as these regulations are more widespread and global, or very much for the whole EU, right, which is DORA, I think this gets more traction in terms of like really testing out what you are putting up in place, so you know how potentially an adversary could hack you, or right, could just find their way into your network. And this is again exactly the pinpoint and the priority for my security 3.0 topic, where we have to repeatedly test ourselves against what is standard nowadays, but also what could be a potential attack vector in the future, and then we're better prepared in the end.
Yeah, And regarding preparations, sometimes, C-suite pays attention to CISOs when it's related to an incident or compliance. How can we make them see security and compliance more than just a ticking box, but something like a business enabler? How to put these aspects on their agenda?
So I think, one possibility that you could use is pretty much the Security 3.0 approach, right? Where I say at the very end, hey, if you're sitting with your board the next time, maybe ask them why they're doing sports, right? Maybe they're playing tennis or they're running or they're golfing or whatever. But basically ask them why are they doing this, right? Because most certainly they will answer to be healthy, right? To keep living as long as possible and to sustain my own health. And say, hey, cool, then why don't we use the same approach for security as well, right? So we can actually stay healthy and secure as a company because we're pretty much the doctors, right, for a company. We're there to make sure we're not getting sick, or when we're sick, then we are tackling what has attacked us, so to speak. And I think, especially in crypto, I know that security is and was always a very important cornerstone of every C-level or founder of companies, because it was always very much targeted and attacked because of the very new environment that crypto still is, right? And so to have that more broader application of security in other fields as well is really all about, we're here to not just putting up road blockers, so to speak, in the way for the company to just say this is compliance or this is just security stuff that we have to do, but it's really about security is there to enable also the business in like a long-term point of view. Because only if we have the right security measures in place, the next attack that could potentially destroy the company is actually not destroying the company, mm-hmm. right? And so that is what I'm always also trying to convey to everybody. Security is a business enabler, and we always have to remind people about this.
Yeah, and even nicer, I'm thinking that when you are prepared for an attack, even the teams feel more confident and more loyal to the company that, I'm working in a sustainable and meaningful company. And since I mentioned all the time about your presentation and we are here at Cyber Evolution, I'm curious, what are your event takes so far?
My event takes so far are, it's great to see everybody again. It's my second time, I think, I've been here. And the network of security professionals and experts participating here and then more actively and collaboratively sharing with each other is really, really important in our field. Because just by sharing some of these stories, sharing some of the insights on what people are working on, what they have seen right happening out there in the field, is hugely important for me to take away. And then also getting back to my teams and saying, hey, look, I've just heard that they're addressing this topic with that tool, maybe something that we could also look into. Or I could bring in good examples from our own environment, from our own company, where I say, hey, this worked really well with us. Maybe this is something that you could also look into. So this sharing and collaborating is just very much important and exactly what is happening here. So that is what I really like. And of course, the presentations that I've seen so far were all great. So that also knowledge sharing from that perspective is tremendous.
Yeah, and integrates perfectly with your method, Security 3.0, because part of the medicine was collaboration and sharing knowledge.
Yes, exactly.
Great. Thank you, Max. And we look forward for the next edition to continue our discussion.
Thank you very much.